Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, the host of the show Faith and Family, underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the great things they have to offer. And we also have a link to Concordia on our website. That's KFUO.org. Now, just in case you aren't aware of it, KFUO is having our Share-a-thon 2013. It's going to be this week, Thursday through Saturday. We are listener-supported, so your support is how we are able to keep this wonderful ministry going. So make plans now to join us later this week for Share-a-thon on listener-supported KFUO. Well, this week on the show, we're talking about our time and how we all seem to be running short of it. In most cases, time can be better managed, and we're here to tell you how to do that. We have a different expert each day with great advice on planning our time more effectively so we can enjoy our life with maybe just a little less stress. Now, I want to remind you that you, our listeners, get to be a part of this show, and we encourage that. We'd love for you to call in or email your questions and comments for our expert. During the show, those numbers are in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or if you're outside of St. Louis, you can also join in at 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. Well, our guest today is Mary Murby, and she has acquired her very own time management skills. She's a very busy person. She's a deaconess, a mercy worker of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She has a Master's of Arts in Theology from Concordia Theological Seminary, and she went to college at the University of Oklahoma. Though primarily a stay-at-home mother, she's also a writer and a choir director. Her books include Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood, which was co-written with Dr. Jean Edward Veith. And next January, Concordia Publishing House will publish How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. This is a book for young children. Now, her husband, Ned, is the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Blackwell, Oklahoma, and they have three daughters, Elizabeth, who is 4 and a half, Evangeline, who is 3, and Margaret, who is 15 months old, and now they are looking forward to meeting their fourth child. Mary Murby, thank you so much for joining Faith and Family, and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're very excited to have you as our guest today. And congratulations on the upcoming addition to your family.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
Oh, I would say so. Now, when is the big day?
Well, our due date is September 24th, but our babies tend to come early. They like to surprise us.
Oh, boy. So it could be sooner than that. Any ideas? Are we looking for boy, girl?
Well, I'm sure either will be nice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Mary, like I said, we're talking about time management this week, and we're all very busy with so many activities and all of the tasks that we have before us. Now, some of us, some of those are God-pleasing things that we're doing, and some of the time we're spending is, it might be a little questionable if it is in service of our Lord or in service of ourselves. What would you say that, or what does the Bible say about how we should use the time that He has given us?
Well, that's a very big question. And when I think about time and work, the first place I like to turn is to what God actually says about Himself. What work does God do? Why has God given us time? And I think, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to solve all of your problems, but I think that what I have to offer is a perspective that relieves stress so that we can make better use of our time. So much stress frustrates us so that even when we are trying to manage our time, we're not putting our best effort forward.
Right.
Now, God says, well, Jesus says in John 5:17, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Now, knowing that I'm not alone, that the world is not on my shoulders, is how I'm able to get up in the morning at all. And then in Philippians, there are two beautiful passages about how he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And it is God who works in me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So knowing that, of course, there is lots of work for me to do, but that I'm not alone and that I don't constantly have to motivate myself, it is really very liberating that God gives us his Son, God gives us his own efforts on our behalf, is what lets us work, and it's what lets us sleep. It gives us time to share his gifts, but also to receive our gifts.
Very, very well said. Now, why would you say that we're all just so busy these days?
Well, we put so much pressure on ourselves. I think that there are a lot of conflicting expectations. Of course, television, newspapers, movies, they give us very glamorous ideas, so that those of us who are ambitious have a lot of work to do. There are a lot of ladders to climb, not only in the corporate world, but even in our hobbies. We want our children to be the top of the class. We want our churches to grow and be the biggest and best. And I think we lose sight of the simple gifts God gives us. You know, God comes to us in the waters of baptism, in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, in the paper and ink of the Bible. These are simple things. And when we lose sight of God at work in the simple things, I think it's a real problem. We just lose all perspective.
Absolutely, and that is a problem that is so common among people. It's just unbelievable how many people are just so overscheduled, and we kind of do it to ourselves, don't we?
Well, and I think it's kind of ironic. In Ecclesiastes, we're all probably familiar with the passage, there is a time for everything and a time for every matter under heaven. And we take that so literally, that there is a time to read your newspaper, there is a time for your lunch break, there is 15 minutes to exercise. We really overschedule. And yet, I think we do it not trusting that there is time for everything. That passage is actually surprisingly specific. There is a time to tear and a time to sow. Well, how many of us have a time to sow?
Right.
Just about no one. And yet, God says there is time. And I think that if we would just slow down, recognize his gifts, and time is a gift, it's not a burden we need to rush through, then I think we would just have a healthier perspective.
You know, that makes me think of my neighbors on both sides of our home, two married couples who are retired, and they just look at life so much differently, and they look at us like we're just so busy and we're always on the go. But, you know, when we go over to visit or say hello or talk out in the yard, they're just so relaxed, and sometimes it's like, you know, we need to just slow down and visit with these people and learn from them.
Absolutely. And yet, I understand that there's a growing concern about people who are retiring because they're not slowing down, and almost have an identity crisis because they don't know what to do with their extra time. They've been busy for so long. And I think that we should keep that in mind, that when we're talking to somebody, to not presume that they've transitioned so well. I really think that, we pray, is it in one of the prayers of the church service? Or is it, but we pray that we can lead a peaceful and quiet life. And I don't recall if it's in the litany or it's in some prayer of the church.
Okay.
And That's beautiful, a peaceful and quiet life. And yet, I think it takes a maturity to understand what that is.
Right, I definitely agree. Would you say that it's safe to say that many people in today's world manage their time more to suit themselves, but perhaps they aren't pleasing the Lord?
Yes, sadly. And I think, I don't mean to say perspective every 5 seconds, but I think the perspective is damaging to themselves as well as to the other people in their lives. And again, I think that people have expectations about success or what's expected of them, and that they're living up to these abstract ideals which may not exist. And so often they're overlooking the actual people, the flesh and blood in their lives. And they can be well-intentioned. They can give lots of money to charity. They can do lots of good things. And yet, I think they can almost turn work into a slavery. You know, whether it's working at their job or working at a hobby. I mean, this intense focus on self.
Absolutely. And I was thinking of a perfect example of this is the issue of Sunday school. And even within my congregation, it starts an hour before church does. Well, we have difficulty with attendance, and we've heard comments that members are just so busy all week long that extra hour at home is so helpful to them. And, I mean, isn't this the opposite way to look at things, as we should be so wrapped up in serving our Lord that we may have to cut out our extracurricular activities instead?
Well, I think that when you say serving our Lord in that context, what I actually think about is just recognizing God's gifts of family. You should be with your family for more than an extra hour on Sunday.
Definitely.
And, I mean, God has placed you in your family, and he didn't let it happen randomly. Your family is a personalized gift to you, and yes, there can be personalized struggles within that family, but, I mean, family really is a primary location where we live our lives, and I think that there's a temptation to squander our lives just by being busy.
Definitely. Now, is there anything we learn from the Bible about mothers, and are they to work outside the home?
Well, yes, of course. And of course, there's some, you know, people disagree. But I think that it's certainly possible and has pretty much always been done. I dare say that Eve helped Adam in more ways than bearing and raising their children.
Sure.
Now, Proverbs 31, I do want to point out, is not a checklist for ambitious Christian women. She serves her family, and yes, she serves her community. But if you'll note, I always think this is kind of funny, she has servants. And I'm sure that her children have been weaned and are likely helpful themselves. There's a lot of pressure for women to do everything all at once, especially in their 20s and 30s, especially emphasizing career right now in their 20s and 30s, when I think there's a time for everything. It may be that there's a time to stay home with your children when they need you the most, and then when they don't need you as much, there will be more time to focus attention and efforts elsewhere.
Definitely. And whenever we talk about our time and all of our obligations, it's very easy for us to get overwhelmed. And one thought that may put our hectic lives into perspective is to be reminded that our time really isn't ours, is it?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I think it's fascinating that in the beginning of the world, on the seventh day, God created a day for rest. And it's a day when God provides, a day when we rest in his care. And yet, how many of us think that we can really rest in God's care and not work at all for 24 hours? No, nobody thinks like that. We are always thinking about what we do rather than what we receive or what God does for us.
That's right. And it's very hard. And my Sundays can easily, the afternoons can turn into housework, yard work, and on and on and on.
Well, and I want to point out that as Lutherans, there's a beautiful section in the Large Catechism where it talks about remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and it talks about how we don't have to do no work as this law, and by this law people will know we are Christian, that it's not like that, but that the Sabbath is a gift, that rest is a gift and not an obligation, but also that our bodies need rest. And I think sometimes the reason why we don't rest, I mean, why we don't sleep well at night and why we don't take a day off, you know, to set it aside for God's word or our family or, you know, the pastime of gardening or what have you, is that we don't believe that we do have the time to rest.
Right.
We just cling to the control we think we have, and that will burn you out. Physically, we need rest. Our brains need rest. Our emotions need rest.
Definitely. And I was also going to ask about what are some of the dangers that can come with overscheduling ourselves whenever we are too busy?
Well, I think that we get so focused on tasks that we overlook people. We are so into the pattern of our schedule that we're not looking for gifts. We are working by habit instead of fully engaging. Now, I actually think habits are wonderful. I read a book called, if you went on Amazon and just typed in willpower, this book would pop up.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, a really interesting, just secular study about what actually helps you to maintain willpower. And it talked about how habits help us in those small ways to avoid temptations. And they talked about temptations in secular terms. But how, you know, all these things, all these little choices we have to make wear us down physically, chemically, in our brain. Temptations aren't imaginary, but they're real. You can actually, to a minor extent, track them scientifically. Will I have a second donut for breakfast? Well, willpower is engaged there to say yes or no. And the more you practice that, the more you say, no, I already had breakfast because I'm in a habit, then your brain moves on to bigger issues. However, when you're overscheduled, your brain isn't clicking in at all. You're not exercising your willpower. And willpower is a gift that God gives us, that like our bodies, if you don't use a muscle, you get out of shape.
Right.
And it is part of a vicious cycle. And yet, to get a little bit of exercise, even just a little bit, can do you a lot of good.
Definitely, definitely. Well, what about, as far as overscheduling ourselves, has it always been this way, where everyone is just so busy?
No. No, people used to work harder and shorter. Before there was electricity, there was no way that farmers would be away from their family more than 10 hours. And then 14 hours, granted they'd be sleeping at night, obviously, but they would be with their families, and they would be doing things like playing games, making music, reciting poetry, They would be reading out loud. They would be doing all of these family together things that are not about personal hobbies. Personal hobbies would be done during the day with the other work. If you wanted to keep bees, if you wanted to build something, these were done during the day. But at night, it was for your family. And night started at supper,
right?
Not at 9 o'clock at night.
Definitely. Now, right now, I would say that we're teaching our small children, if we're constantly on the run and we don't leave time for those simple things in life, just the basic, taking a walk or giving your child a wagon ride, those little things that are so valuable to that child. What are we teaching our kids if there's just never time for that type of thing?
Well, we're teaching them that family isn't important and that they're not worth our time and energy. Now, I want to say very quickly, though, a little bit of quality time goes a long way. In the summertime, it's a little anecdotal, but I found that if first thing after breakfast, during summertime, I sit down and read with my girls, I mean, for 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
Where it's just me and my girls on the couch.
And, you know, 10 or 15 minutes to a little child, that's a lot longer than it is to us.
Yeah, I mean, just a chance to laugh and giggle and give them the option of picking out a book. They are better behaved. They are more emotionally stable for the rest of the day. I'm not saying that people need to quit their jobs and, you know, stare exclusively at their children to teach them that they're important, but to just take the opportunity to focus on them and to be present so that if they have a question, you can answer it or say, oh, that's a good question for Daddy, which is my favorite answer.
That's a good one. I like that one too.
But to just really connect with them face to face. And not just with your children, but with your spouse, with your friends. If you are too busy to have coffee with your friends, well, sometimes you're going to be too busy. But see them at church, you know, spend 4 minutes face to face. I mean, it's powerful. And I think that as much as I love telephones, computers, Facebook, email, etc., nothing can replace face-to-face quality time.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more with you on that. Well, we're just about ready to go to our break, but with about 30 seconds left, what would you say that people in today's world are wasting their time on?
Oh, 30 seconds. Just having a bad perspective. I think perspective is what determines how we spend our time.
Yeah, definitely. As you mentioned before, like Facebook and just being on the internet in general, it can lead into a long time, television and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's many things out there that we can get distracted from and taking away from what we should be doing. Well, we're going to, like I said, take a short break. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue this discussion. We're talking with Deaconess Mary Murby. She's also an author, a mother, and wife of a pastor. She also happens to be expecting. Now, if you have a question or comment for Mary, or maybe you'd like to share a story of your personal time-saving habits, we would love to hear from you. And give us a call, 800-730-2727. And you can also email your questions and comments to family@KFUO. We'll be addressing those questions and comments coming up on the second half of the show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Faith and Family here on KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we are discussing time management this week. Now, if you have missed out on any of our shows, there's no worries. Just visit our website. It's kfuo.org. Click on Faith and Family Archives, and you can listen to any of our shows on the archives at any time, and, of course, also from anywhere that you're at, if you have an iPhone or laptop or anything like that. So, and we also have links to our experts' businesses on our website, so that's helpful information. Now, we had an email come in. It's from Paul Pitney of Dixon, Tennessee, and he writes, "I like to journal. It helps me clear my thoughts and get organized. Danger is that you have to plan to set time aside to journal." Mary, what's your thoughts on this?
I think that writing is actually one of the very best hobbies you can have, and that it really can be a profoundly good influence. And I think that writing or making music, these are things that cultivate self-discipline, which help us in every other aspect of our lives. Writing helps us to communicate with others and to be self-aware. Our Lord says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, and I think that self-awareness is not selfish, but very positive. If we know our needs, it's better, we're better equipped to recognize the needs of others, even though we often, you know, shelter our needs so that people can't see them. So I'm a big proponent of journaling. And yes, you have to set time aside for it, but I think it's really an investment in this really big piece of the puzzle.
I couldn't agree more. And Paul from Dixon, Tennessee, we thank you so much for listening to Faith and Family. And listeners, keep them coming. If you have a question or comment for Mary, give us a call, 800-730-2727. Or if you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850. Or email us, family@kfuo.org. We'd love to visit with you and maybe hear some of your tips on your time-saving habits that you might have. Now, we also were talking about children earlier. You know, we want to offer them the absolute best that we can. So we let them play sports. We let them learn a musical instruments. Before long, we're constantly on the run. We're taking them from this practice to that practice, and it just goes on and on. How can we kind of tell whenever enough is enough and it's time to slow down?
Well, I think that one of the signs is how you're talking with your children. In the car ride to piano lessons, are you guys talking? Are you engaging? Of course, some children talk more than others. I'm not saying that you have to have talkative children, but how is your relationship with your children? How well do you know them? Are your children, are their eyes glazing over because all they do is sit in a car going from piano to soccer to, I don't know, ballet? I think that we should ask our children why they want to do things. Now, of course, I come from a family. We didn't have a whole lot of choices. I was in, fourth grade, and someone came into my school and brought different instruments, you know, a violin, a flute, a trumpet, and they asked, you know, what instrument you would like to sign up for. I didn't want to be in band. I had no interest in being band. I had already been in piano since second grade. I figured I was doing my duty with piano. I came home that night, and I happened to mention this to my parents, and they said, "What? You didn't specify what instrument you wanted?" I'm like, "No, I play piano. That's fine." And I went to a parochial school. I was singing also. We were a very musically active congregation. Well, needless to say, I played clarinet, and not because I chose it. However, what I had, I couldn't have dreamt of this. I actually went to school at the University of Oklahoma because they have an excellent clarinet performance program, and I have an undergraduate degree in clarinet because I grew into it and music shaped me so much, and I hated to practice, but it really cultivated in me a love of beauty. So when we put our children in sports, let them have the exercise, let them have the teamwork, let them have the friendship, let them have the fresh air. But if we can keep these larger goals in mind, the fresh air, the exercise, the teamwork, then that helps us speak better with our children so that they also appreciate the larger parts and not just, it's 4 o'clock, now it's time for such and such.
Right, right. Well, and I'm sure that now you're glad when you look back that you stuck with the clarinet, even if it wasn't completely willingly.
Oh, and my children have no choice. They will learn piano and a musical instrument because the discipline, the beauty, and the self-expression is really very powerful.
I think it's getting through those growing pains, as far as practice. I'm the same way. I've got a daughter in piano now, and she's not as excited about it as she used to be. But there's come a point when she's starting to play some pretty neat songs, and she's actually enjoying it. But it was getting past that point of the dreaded practice and trying to learn those notes.
Well, and I think that if we're honest with ourselves, we can agree with our children that a fifth grade oboe player, I mean, you have a long way to go.
Sure.
But that journey is important, and living in the moment is important, and learning to persevere and to work at something is really very fundamental to our lives as human beings. It used to be little children would be out weeding the garden. I mean, I suppose we can all do that for our children if we've got the space in our backyard, but that was frustrating for them. You know, we're trying to bring them up into the lives that we have, and we listen to music, the vast majority of us, even if it's not classical. We want our children to appreciate the gifts that we appreciate.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Now, I guess you have 3 children. You have a husband who's a busy pastor. You have a career going. You've just got all kinds of different things going. What would you say is a typical day like in the Murby home?
Well, all of my children have different sleeping schedules, which is awful. I mean, we're very blessed that they sleep at all, some children. We're very blessed. But it's very difficult to get children to school on time because with morning Bible studies and that kind of thing, my husband is often away already. So I have to get 3 children into the car and to school by 8:15. And that's hard because 2 of my children do not wake up before 7:30.
There's always a challenge or an unexpected as well with that, with children that young, isn't there?
And I have this firm belief, and maybe I cling to this because I'm a young mother, but I have a firm belief that children do more good than we realize. Now, there is no hurrying my children. I have tried different techniques. I've tried different, get them dressed as soon as they're out of bed, send them to breakfast where the food's already on the table. I've tried everything to try to get my children to hurry, but they don't. And the more I pressure them to hurry, the slower they go. Now, mm-hmm. Of course, I think this is very naughty, but they are showing me how much pressure I feel to keep to a schedule. Now, my 3-year-old stays home. I mean, except when we go out to drop off her sister or do errands. She doesn't need a schedule. I mean, she eats on a schedule. There's certainly a pattern that our day follows. But she doesn't feel that kind of pressure.
Right.
And it's very liberating to me how simple her life is. And yet, she is learning to deal with frustrations. She has goals. She tries things. She loves to be challenged. She tries all of these things that really she can't do at three. And she's barely three.
Mm-hmm.
So she really gives me perspective, even as I fight against the, you know, how slow they are. It's, our modern life is really tied to a schedule, but I think that life is not tied to a schedule.
Right, definitely. Now, listeners, if you would like to join in, we would sure love to hear from you. Give us a call, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. There's still plenty of time for you to join in on this conversation. Maybe you have some time-saving tips that you'd like to share with the rest of our listeners. We would love to hear from you. Now, what about time management tips that you might have, Mary? Is there anything that you use to keep your life and your household running a little more smoothly?
Yes, I keep lists. Lists of everything. If I'm getting low on something, it goes on the grocery list and I get two of them. I keep lists and calendars. And I have a couple of tricks for my lists, and that is I use a dry erase board so that I've got a long to-do list, you know, that has things that we will do, like get new car tires in 2 years. You know, I really try to keep track of everything because, you know, nowadays you need to watch your money, you need to know what you're saving for, you need to... I mean, you have to stay on top of a lot of different areas. And we all know that right after tax day, don't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I have a daily to-do list that I put on a dry erase board. And if there's a day when I feel like I'm vulnerable and I'm a bad person, then I cross things off and I put every little thing that I'm going to do on that board, because at the end of the day and even throughout the day, I need reassurance that I'm doing something.
I think that's a great idea.
And reading to your children counts, doing the dishes counts, planning the dinner meal counts. And days when I want more freedom, when I'm feeling confident, when I want to really focus on my girls, and you know, we're going to make, I don't know, finger puppets, well then I just erase the dry erase board, the, you know, as I do each thing, and it's like, look, I have free time. Look at all the white on my dry erase board.
That's a great idea. Let's make finger puppets or play Play-Doh or bake something together.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, what about teaching our children the Bible and how to lead a God-centered life? How can we find time to devote to this?
Well, I really think the key is valuing family and understanding how family works. Because church is family. I know that we sometimes say, yeah, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but not really brothers. Well, no. Scripture can be pretty literal. We are children of God, and that really does make Christians brothers and sisters. So every family has different traditions, different pet phrases that they use, and I try to be intentional incorporating those things from church into home. You know, it's not just Bible stories, but when somebody's in time out, then we'll talk about Jesus, and we'll talk about how Jesus loves us, even though we do bad things sometimes, but that we love each other, and that's why we try to do good. And I mean, just practicing so that you're talking about sort of religious topics in your daily life. I think is very powerful and something we've sadly lost.
Well, and I was going to say that myself, being a mom of three, we're always on the go. It just seems like we can't seem to slow down. But one thing that I have found, it's kind of a fun thing that my kids and I like to do, is we play Sunday school song CDs in my car when we are on the go. So we sing and we do the hand motions to all the fun songs, and it's a great way to keep everyone from fighting or pestering each other, which often happens when you have siblings sitting in the back car so close to each other. But my three-year-old daughter, she loves it, and it's amazing how she's learned so many of the songs word for word. It's just really great. And then my 9-year-old son, he kind of helps teach his little sister the right words to all the songs. And then there's my 13-year-old daughter. Sometimes she likes to act like, you know, she's too big for these songs, silly songs and hand motions. But, you know, she usually breaks out and sings along, too, before it's over with. Now, and I want to tell the listeners, if you want to do this, I got to warn you, you may get looks from other drivers on the road. Last week, we were stopped at a stoplight, and we were singing and doing the hand motions to Zacchaeus. So I was climbing up that sycamore tree, and I just happened to glance over and see another car, and these people were looking at me very strangely. So that embarrassed my 13-year-old daughter. But anyway, we have a good time, and I look at it as managing my time because I am so busy. So while we're in the car, you know, I'm reinforcing the music that God has given to us. So like I said, we just have a good time with it.
Well, and children love to have focus. You can just ask them random questions. At our Sunday school opening just the other day, I asked, where do we talk about fish in the Bible? And they were so excited to tell me different Bible stories about fish. Now, they gave some ridiculous answers also, but that's okay. They're little. But they love to think about things. They love to answer questions. They love to think about Jesus. I mean, children love Jesus, and it's beautiful.
That's a great idea, and I think that would even interest the children as they get older and into middle school and high school. Turn it into kind of like a trivia game.
Well, exactly, and make it about animals. They love animals.
Sure. I think that's a great idea. Listeners, do you have some ideas or tips for us to continue having God in our children's lives and growing that faith? If you do, give us a call. We've still got time. We'd love to hear from you. 314-505-7850 or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or email us at family@kfuo.org. Now, we have talked a lot about females today and all of our busy lives, but we should not leave out the men, because there's a lot of men out there who could also use some help in their time management. There's pastors who come to mind that I can think of who have an entire congregation to lead, and many of them have children of their own as well. What would you say is to be said for the man who's trying to be all these things to so many people?
Well, I would say to think about the people in your life. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, to think about the people more than the tasks, because it's very draining to visit shut-ins and to go into a room where there's someone on hospice care. It can be very intimidating to be working all the time when you don't know what questions are going to be asked. But ultimately, we're called to serve our neighbor and not do a list of tasks. And when we remember people, we can remember that there's love and forgiveness, that there is patience, or that people are sometimes jerks and it's not just about us. They might just be having a rough day. If we can keep a humane perspective, it goes a long way, so that we can say, you know what, I haven't eaten lunch today. No wonder I can't focus. I have to eat lunch. Or I have to go to bed early. Or I need a date with my wife. Or I live in Oklahoma, or I'm going to go shoot out in a field with some parishioners. And that's all fine. I mean, God gives us so many gifts, and He literally fills our lives with people so that there should always be someone you can look at and say, this is just not my day. Because it's okay to admit that. It's okay to not be strong all the time. It's okay that you can't be in constant control. Those are all things for God. God is in control. God is the Savior of the world. We don't have to do it all. He already did. And yes, we are servants of God, but we are not the servant of God. We don't have to do everything. What is an opportunity for us can also be an opportunity for someone else.
I think that is very well said and almost sounds like something we should have on a frame on our walls, or at least me, to remind me that it's up to God, not up to myself all the time.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about a lot of different areas today, but we've spent a lot of time on time management amongst our children. But, you know, I know there's also a lot of women who don't have children, I guess, and men as well. They face these same obstacles of time management. Some people have so many things they're involved in, whether it be with their career, their church, volunteering, their pets. But the same goes for them as well, though, doesn't it, as far as putting God and your faith at the top of your list of priorities with your time and then adding from there?
Yes, if we can recognize God's gifts, then that has a huge effect on our motivation and energy. Now, you can recognize God's gifts and still be exhausted. Then by all means, pursue some rest, because God wants to give you rest also. But I'm a young mother, but I married a little bit on the late side. So I had a career. Well, I had a job. It wasn't a very exciting career. But even then, I mean, I think what we have to do is sort of focus on one thing at a time. And more important than that, because I do think multitasking can be wonderful, but let your focus leave something when you're done with it. I mean, really allow yourself to shift focus so that that part of your brain can rest. You can still be productive, but if you can flex different muscles with different areas in your life, if you know what I mean, well, then that lets your other muscles rest and recuperate. And we're human beings. We need that. We can't be go, go, go with every muscle of our being all the time. And whether you're dealing with children or your boss, or your to-do list. I mean, there is a time for everything, and there is a time to put that away.
Very well said. Well, Mary, you have given us some great advice today, and we appreciate it so much. Now, there were several Bible passages that you've mentioned throughout this hour. Can you refer to those again? Just kind of list those so that our listeners can refer to them when they're considering how to better manage their time, to kind of get a biblical perspective?
Okay. Let me think. Ecclesiastes 3, which is, there's a time for everything, a time for every matter under heaven. And I encourage you to read a little further than that little section where it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. And I perceive, I being Solomon, the wisest man on earth besides Jesus, perceived by the Holy Spirit that there is nothing better for man than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil.
Okay, Mary, I'm going to have to cut you off. We are already out of time. It sure does fly when we're talking about a subject that is of such interest to us. Mary Murby, I thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family, and we will add the rest of those Bible passages on our website. Thank you again, Mary, for joining us on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Everyone, join us again tomorrow on Faith and Family. We'll continue this discussion on managing our time just a little better and more to serve our God. Make it a great day.